is because we have Dr. Charles Woodrow with us, and Charles and Julie have been in Mozambique 35 plus years now, doing who can imagine all the impact that they have had, and the Lord has used them mightily. And without me trying to introduce him, I'm going to pray and ask him to come and speak to us this morning about the work there. Father, we are so grateful to have your word and have your truth, and it is a light to the nations. Thank you, Father, for Charles and Julie and their family and their work in Mozambique. We praise you, dear Lord, and ask you to help Charles as he speaks to us this morning. May your name be honored and glorified in the things that we do, Father. Engage our hearts and our minds in this work and in the joy of the Lord this morning on this day that you've given. Thank you that we can come together like this and worship you. We praise your name. Ask your blessing, your presence upon us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother, come, please.
Well, I want to greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and just say how happy I am that once again I can be in your midst to worship the Lord with you on this Lord's Day. And also to have this opportunity to share with you some of the things the Lord is doing that amaze me, and I hope you'll be amazed as well, and what he's doing in the nation of Mozambique, Africa, way above and beyond anything that we would have thought or hoped or imagined when we went to Mozambique 35 years ago. But we do serve a great God, and when he is on the move, all we can do is just do our best to keep up, and that's what's been happening lately. And the last few years in Mozambique. The ministry in Mozambique has developed along multiple lines. Most of you know I was trained as a general surgeon. I was sent out to Mozambique to be a medical evangelistic minister or missionary, not a church planter. We always expected that God would send an appropriately trained individual to come out and take over the church planting work when the time came for that. But the Lord had other plans, and of course I always wanted to go to a place where there weren't other missionaries, a place like Mozambique, which was a communist country and was closed to other missionary involvement, because I didn't want to be told, go back to the operating room and do your thing in there. I wanted to be involved in every aspect of the church planting work and even beyond. And in fact, that's what the Lord has graciously allowed us to do. We have several fronts. One of them is the medical evangelistic front. I'll dispense with that pretty quickly because not much is happening there. And then the church work ministry that has been going on. The Lord planted a church back in 1993, and it's still going strong today, and has multiplied itself five times over in the city of Mozambique. And then bookstore ministry, which has been going on since 2003, and then nationwide pastors training conferences that have been going on since 2005, and then, no, that was going on since 1999. In 2005, we actually started post-conference seminars, intensive seminars to train pastors from all over the country of Mozambique and the gospel of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and that has been flourishing. And ultimately, reading groups that have sprung up. We have 26 reading groups with an average of 14 people in each one of these groups, 364 people receiving a free book every month, hopefully for 36 months. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And these are groups, 364 people are scattered throughout the entire length and breadth and of Mozambique. And I'll be going over the curriculum that they're reading and how God is putting a foundation under the church, evangelical church in Mozambique, that was not there when we went to Mozambique back in 1990 to be, I thought, involved in medical evangelism. But it's gone way beyond that. But let me start off with the medical evangelistic ministry. That's the easiest thing to dispense with because, as you know, it seems like nothing is happening there. We have a beautiful hospital. We've spent God's provided $1,500,000 for developing all of our complex. It's totally set up. It's functional. In fact, it did function during 14 months as the COVID regional referral hospital for all of northern Mozambique. And so it proved that it's viable and that it works. But we are waiting for God to provide a general surgeon, a Western-trained surgeon who can come out to Mozambique and make that hospital function as a surgical facility. And to this point, that still has not happened. And so we're in a holding pattern. I would be willing to open the clinic at least so that the clinic could function to see outpatient people. And that at least would let us get our evangelistic pavilion into operation, where we would be able to evangelize 2,000 people every month, 24,000 people a year, while they're waiting to see the doctors. The present director of provincial director of health is refusing to cooperate with us to enable us to open that clinic. And so I'm just going to have to wait until God changes the situation on that. But the medical evangelistic ministry was very thrived for the first 8 years while we were in Mozambique. It was the most satisfying experience I had. I loved operating on people, solving their problems. People came from all over the four northern provinces of Mozambique to get their operations at our little hospital where I was the only doctor, the only surgeon. And Grace Missions was providing all the medical equipment, the drugs, everything else we needed to keep that hospital functioning. And without fail, every Sunday afternoon, I would walk through the halls of the hospital, call the people to come hear the word of the Lord, receive help for your souls. And then I'd take them to the main room in the center of the hospital, and I'd preach the gospel of salvation by grace through faith to those people, sometimes 30, sometimes up to 130 people gathered for those sessions. And we distributed hundreds of Bibles for only $1 apiece. Everybody who came received gospel tracts, portions of scripture, and they heard a full presentation. Over 4,000 people at the height of that ministry back in 1996 heard a full presentation of the gospel at the hospital. But of course, as I've mentioned, if we could only get our hospital functioning in Mozambique, we could be evangelizing not 4,000 people a year, 24,000 people a year. So that's a pain in my heart that I often bring before the Lord. But as you will understand, as I get on with the rest of the report, God has another plan. And I have to say that even 37 years ago, as I was preaching, or 35 years ago, preaching in the hospital where I was working, a government hospital, but given over to our use, I was very concerned as I would see the people hearing the message that was proclaimed. And then as I made rounds on the patients afterwards, going from bed to bed, I'd see so many of those people looking over those gospel portions so that they could learn more about Jesus Christ, so that they'd come to faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. And it grieved me to know that when they left the hospital, there weren't any churches in Mozambique that were preaching the true gospel that I knew of. And 35 years has borne that out to be the case. It's all a works-oriented gospel with work salvation and sanctification by following church rules. And I realized there was a real need for a foundation to be placed, a theological, doctrinal foundation to be placed under the Church of Mozambique, or else once-off evangelism in the hospital was doomed to fail. And that indeed is what God has done. As you'll hear in a little bit, through the other ministries that began to be developed while we were waiting for our own hospital to be able to open. I do want to say that I've not given up at all. It's clear God's provided $1,500,000 to build this wonderful facility and all the other buildings on our complex. He has fully equipped the hospital. We have everything we need to function. And not only that, we have a congregation of only 47 adult members, but of those 47 members, God has brought 5 physicians to our congregation, and every one of those physicians has it in his heart to become a surgeon. We have one who's already training to be a neurosurgeon. We have another one who wants to be a pediatric surgeon, another one who wants to be a gynecological surgeon, a maxillofacial surgeon, and a general surgeon. They're just waiting for the hospital to get open. Of course, they're also, 4 of them are still waiting to get accepted into training programs so that they can get those specialties. But 4 of those people, before they ever came to salvation, that was still their goal, was to be a surgeon. And God has placed those 5 people in our congregation, not because they're hoping that they'll get a job with us eventually as surgeons, but because that's just where they ended up and where God brought them to salvation in so many cases. And so I do believe that God has a plan, but He's still working on getting that foundation established for the church in Mozambique, so the people who come to the hospital, hear the gospel, are brought to salvation, will have churches that they can join that won't divert them off into the wrong track of works salvation. Going on to the church work, before I get into what's happening on the nationwide front, as I mentioned, our church has 47 adult members now in it, but it's actually multiplied. There's now 5 Grace congregations in the city of Nampula. 2 of those were started by members in our own church who were sent out to establish additional churches at the far ends of our city. The city's got 800,000 people in it. It's geographically fairly large. And so now we have 3 congregations that have arisen from our own church. And we also have one individual in 2010 who came to the doctrines of grace from a very typically Mozambican Arminian denomination, who has since established a league of churches, with one of his churches being right here in Nampula with us. We work closely together. In fact, we sent this man and 2 other individuals to Brazil to get a master's degree, 3 men to get master's degree from a conservative, reformed evangelical seminary there. And one of them chose pastoral studies, one of them chose master's in theology, another one was interested in Christian philosophy. But those 3 men have been trained, all in Nampula, but from this seminary in Brazil. And they are now have founded for a year ago, a reformed evangelical seminary in Nampula. And those 3 men that we sent off to get that training. And they each have their own church also in Nampula, along with us. So that accounts for 4 churches. And then there's a 5th church, a fellow who was in one of my first seminars on systematic theology, where we studied particularly the gospel of salvation by grace through faith in Christ. His own church is now a 5th grace church in the city of Nampula. So we have 5 churches now, where before there were none. And our own church is doing well with 47 adult members and many ministries that are being carried on by the members in our church, as well as by these men in the other churches who have banded together to form, among other things, the seminary and hold district conferences throughout all of the province of Nampula, Mozambique. A lot that's going on through the church planting work. Let me press ahead now to talk about these other ministries that are more far-flung, that are nationwide ministries. Many of you will know that since 1999, 9 years after we were sent to Mozambique, we began working with Editora Fiel, which is a Brazilian Banner of Truth-style publishing house, to host annual pastors' conferences like they had been doing in Brazil for 20 years already. We started that up in 1999 with our first Fiel conference, and 83 people attended, all of them from the province of Nampula. But over the years, those conferences have expanded tremendously, and in 2023, Grace Missions took over full responsibility for running these nationwide conferences in Nampula, while Carl Pedris Peterson, if you'll remember, I was working with him early on in this ministry. He is responsible for a conference that's going on in Maputo, and also now it's spread over into Angola. So he handles Angola and Maputo, and Grace Missions single-handedly does all the logistics and all the planning for these conferences that are taking place in Nampula. And the first year that we took that full responsibility on ourselves was in 2023. And we had a record attendance of 395 people coming from all of Mozambique's 10 provinces and over 80 different denominations and church affiliations and associations represented. And in 2023, when we took over that conference, we started out a series of going through the book of Romans. And we covered Romans 1 through 4, verse by verse, in the 2023 conference. And this was amazing information for people who grow up and spend all their time in works-oriented congregations that preach salvation by works and maintaining your salvation by keeping your works up. We studied through Romans 1 through 4. The theme of the conference was the power of the gospel to reconcile sinners to a righteous and a holy God, bringing about justification through grace, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. And the response to that conference was overwhelming, way beyond anything that we would have hoped for, but God was in it, and He greatly blessed the teaching. And I've got some statements. I'm going to read these statements from people who participated in the 2023 conference. The teachings on the gospel, grace, and faith were a great blessing. Another person wrote, marvelous. Oh, may there be more opportunities like this. The message closed so many of the gaps in my understanding of the full and mighty gospel. Another person who attended said, the themes were of great benefit to pastoral ministry. They will radically change the methods of evangelism that we've been using. In addition to the verse-by-verse exposition of Romans 1 through 4, we also had a workshop on 8 common errors in evangelism that all arise from a faulty understanding of the gospel and a faulty presentation of the gospel. And so that workshop was very effective in opening the eyes to many people of the errors that are commonly presented in our modern contemporary evangelistic methods. Another person wrote, I learned so much from the material. It corrected many mistakes I've been making. Another person wrote, the conference was a genuine means of deliverance, transforming old men into new. I'm grateful to have taken part in this spiritual feast for the saints in Jesus Christ. Another person wrote, the themes and messages were excellent, constructive, and well-developed. They left me with a clear picture of the grace which we've received from God, salvation not by works of the law, but through faith in Christ. This is grace. And then one of the professors of the three men that we've sent off to be trained in Brazil, from a seminary in Brazil, wrote this, thank you for this richly productive and powerful conference whose full effect we cannot know immediately, even though there are indications that most of those present have now begun to understand the true gospel. The messages, the case studies, and the responses to questions and objections from the audience were all excellent. Through Christ Jesus, the pride of man was cast down before the Son of Grace, the power that destroys us in order to rebuild us on the eternal rock. A missionary from Reformed Baptist Church is working in the northern province, northernmost province of Mozambique, wrote this. We have 6 men from Cabo Delgado, the northernmost province, there in Nampula this week. They shared with me last night how rich the time has been, how everything is centered around the Word. I thank the Lord for this conference and allowing so many to be exposed to teaching that is faithful to the text. And finally, another man wrote, with gratitude to God, I declare that this conference was not merely a conference, but a spiritual awakening. May God bless all the speakers, and may He greatly bless the team that organized and executed the event. So that was the marvelous way God poured out His blessing on the first conference, that we were allowed to actually plan the whole spiritual program as well as carry out all of the logistics. And, of course, we had to pay the full cost of the conference. And I remember 9 months before the conference took place, I began praying to the Lord about this decision. Can Grace Missions really afford to take on the full financial responsibility for the conference in Nampula while Carl Peterson handles the one in Maputo and also in Angola? And as I was praying to God to show me whether we could do this, and the spiritual program as well, which was very intimidating to have that thrust upon us, as I was praying about that, we received a gift of $50,000 that came from somebody we do not even know. We know his name, but we don't know him, from Little Rock. From Arkansas. And somebody we didn't even know sent a check for $50,000 in December as I was praying to the Lord to show whether we should take this on or not. And, of course, it was that $50,000 gift that caused me to see that the Lord was answering our prayers, that, yes, He can provide the finances for the conference all through Grace Missions. And so we undertook it, and the Lord showed up in the messages. and in the speakers. And this was the response. And I've got 15 more statements that I culled that I could share as well. But in the interest of time, we're going to press on. So that was the 2023 FIEL conference. 60% of the people who were there came back the next year, which is a very high retention rate for the 2024 conference, where we went on through Romans 5 through 8, looking at what happens after a person has been justified by faith in Jesus Christ, after he's received the imputed righteousness of Christ to his account. Then what? Well, Paul tells us in Romans 5 through 8, we also received the Holy Spirit, who begins the marvelous transforming work of sanctification in our lives. And that's how we know we're saved, when we begin to see the fruit of the Spirit resulting in a transformed life. And so that's what we covered in 2024. And not only did 60% of the people who came in 2023 return, but many more people came. And we had the largest jump in attendance we've ever had, 21% increase in attendance. 479 people showed up for the 2024 FIEL conference as we carried on with the theme of transformed by the Spirit. And this is so contrary to what happens in Mozambique, because in Mozambique they preach a man-focused, man-organized gospel where man does everything to affect his salvation. You pray the magic prayer. You accept Christ into your heart. You go off and get baptized, join the church, and now you're saved, and don't ever doubt it. They give you the immediate false assurance that you're saved because of what you've done. And then, because they don't receive the Holy Spirit, because it's not the true gospel that they're listening to that results in the results of salvation, they have to come up with a man-focused form of sanctification through rules. And so that's what they preach, is Christians don't drink, Christians don't smoke, Christians don't wear jewelry, Christians don't use the popular hairstyle that the guys in Africa like to use, where you pretty much shave your head right around here but leave it bushy on the top. Christians don't get those kinds of haircuts. Christians don't go to bars. Christians don't dance, secular dancing, that kind of stuff. And they enforce it, this pseudo-works-oriented sanctification, with the threat of you're going to lose your salvation if you don't do these things. So they have a false gospel, and then they have to have a false means of sanctification in order to simulate changes. And, of course, Paul blows that away in his teaching on sanctification. How? 62 verses consecutively on one theme from Romans 6:1 through 8:14. Sanctification, transformation through the Spirit, not through the law. That blows these people away. But once again, I never have had time yet. I've got a big sheaf of all the reviews of the FIEL conference that people submitted to us for 2024. I haven't had time yet to look at those, but one person sent me an email at the end of the conference in 2024. Here's what he said. Apart from salvation, this conference was the best thing that has ever happened in my Christian life. Now, I got to say here that you people at Grace Bible Chapel, you hear this every Sunday. This is just same old for you all. But you've got to put yourself in the position of people who've gone to church all their life, and all they ever hear is work salvation, and then keeping your salvation by keeping your works up to a high enough level. When they finally sit under the gospel of the Bible, the true means of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, for those who get it, it just blows them away. And one of the things they always wonder is, how can I be a Christian for 25 years in my church and I've never heard this? And so it's a wonderful transforming experience. And I'm so thankful to be in a place like Mozambique where we get to be involved in bringing this truth to people who have never heard it, despite all their years in the church. It's a great blessing for us. Well, in 2025, this year, we carried right on with Romans 9 through 11, and we had another 60% retention rate of all the people who came in 2024. 60% of them came back in 2025. Our attendance increased even more. 547 people in attendance this year. 230 people lodged right there on our own property, and another 50 people we lodged in a compound near us. An increase of 14%. Over what previously had been you know, the highest participations that we've had in the field conferences. This is our tremendous opportunity to reach people from all over Mozambique, because these people came last year from 9 of Mozambique's 10 provinces, and from all of these great variety of church associations and affiliations, in order to hear the things that were taught at this conference in 2025. So we're so thankful for these opportunities. And in order to try to capitalize, while we have all these men brought in from far corners of the country, since 2005, as I mentioned, I've offered a seminar after the conference for people who can stay on for a week, and we carry on with an in-depth study of the doctrines associated with salvation. First of all, the doctrines of God that are most directly involved in the work of salvation, the doctrines of Christ, and the doctrines of the Holy Spirit, who applies all of this to the believer, and then the doctrines of soteriology, the atonement, and the doctrines of grace, and the doctrines of faith. And so all of these things are taught in these conferences. I can only take 20 people at a time, because there's 15 classes with 15 homework assignments and 15 tests. And so that means in 6 days I have to grade 600 papers just for a class of 20. Sometimes I go up to 25, 750 papers. I spend all my time grading these papers. I can't take any more than that. But we've been doing that since 2005. There are now 405 people spread throughout the whole country of Mozambique who have participated in these post-conference seminars and have gotten many of them a really good grasp of the true gospel of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So we're thankful for that opportunity, and it's given us contacts, the contacts that we have today, spread, like I said, through the whole length and breadth of Mozambique. And one example, just to share what can happen, we had a fellow, a lot of our people come from neo-Pentecostal churches. Mozambique is full of neo-Pentecostals. You know, you join the church so you can get health and wealth and prosperity and have all your carnal desires met through the church. And he was one of these prosperity preachers. And halfway through the Fiel Conference in 2022, he called his home, his wife, in tears, telling her, "We've been doing it all wrong all these years. And when I get back, we're going to change everything." And that man stayed on for an extra week, the first week after the Fiel Conference, so he could take a course that was offered by Equipping Pastors Worldwide, which is a group of Reformed pastors in the UK who preach, who teach in Portuguese. And they come down almost every year and offer a seminar after our Fiel Conference is over to the people who can stay on, and they'll take up to 80 people in their classes. And then he stayed on a second week, because I now offer two classes for 20 people. The first class is usually for folks who come from far away. The second class of 20 people is for folks right there in Nampula who can wait the second week and come. But he stayed on the second week and took my course. And he was just thoroughly transformed and so enthused and so excited. And he went home and vowed that he was going to turn his neo-Pentecostal church into a reformed congregation. And the next year he came back to the conference, and he brought some of his neo-Pentecostal friends with him so that they could get infected too with the truth. And one of the things that we do, we spend a lot of money on these conferences, and because of that we want to know if the conferences are really being effective. Are people really learning from us or not? And so we do a test. Since I've taken over in 2023, we do a test before the conference, which we just call a survey. For example, in 2024, we had a 16-question survey on sanctification. But in reality, every question we asked came directly from Romans 6 through 8. And if you know Romans 6 through 8, you'll get 16 questions right. If you don't have a clue, you'll get all kinds of answers off the wall. And I'll talk a little bit about the results of that survey in a minute, just to see the effectiveness of the conferences. But we also do what we call a theological survey. It's just an opinion poll. What is your thought about 33 different questions which enable us to understand where each person is on this spectrum of the Arminian Pelagianism, man-focused gospel, all the way over to the Reformed gospel of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? Well, this fellow, this neo-Pentecostal guy that never had a clue about the true gospel, when he came back in 2023 and took that test, the 33 questions on to find out where you're at. He answered every single one. 33 out of 33 questions, right on the money, right where we're at. This guy who was formerly the Neo-Pentecostal. And we've had quite a few of those people with the same sorts of responses and experiences. In the early years, I'd find that maybe 10% of the people who took this post-conference seminar were really getting it. But there's so much competition now. Today we have up to 120 people competing. They have to take a test to get into the course now. And 120 people will take the test in order to fill 40 slots. And so now we can be more selective and take people that have proven on the test that they have read the Bible and they know what the Bible says. I don't like to teach theology to people who haven't even read their Bibles yet. And now we have about 33% of the people do so well and really grasp the content of what's being taught. And so that's very encouraging. With regard to the 2024 conference where we did the pre and the post test on sanctification, six people got 16 out of 16 questions correct out of the, 479 people. I've got to look at my, 479 people who were at the conference. Six people got every question right about sanctification before the conference. But when we administered the exact same survey on the last day of the conference, we had 46 people with a perfect score. And we had, 49% of the people actually improved their score by at least 16 points. Some people as much as 44 points. So they were listening and they were learning, at least these people were. There were another 11% of the people who couldn't improve by 16 points because they did so well on the pre-conference test. So when you add those 11% to the 49% that made significant improvement in the doctrines of sanctification because of listening through Romans 5 through 8, that's 60% of the people that were at the conference made a significant improvement in their understanding of the doctrines that were being taught from the Word of God. And we found out that of the remaining 40%, all but 1% of those people were just totally in the dark, just clueless. They did worse after the conference than they did before. They don't know what's going on. It's not surprising because these people are so bombarded continually with wrong doctrine in their churches that they're just confused, and many of them no doubt are not even saved. And that's what concerned us. How many of these people can learn? How many of these people are being taught by the Holy Spirit, and how many of them are spiritually out to lunch? And we do see that 39% of the people who come to our conferences don't have any clue about what's going on. But it was important for us to know that. Now, the reason we want to have that kind of information is because these conferences cost us a lot of money. This year, we had the 547 people attend. The people themselves, the participants, they all paid an average of $14 each to come to the conference. But the mission paid $120 in addition to their $14 in order to cover all the costs of the conference. The conference this year cost, for 547 people, it cost us $65,000. That's an expensive ministry. But it's a ministry that's changing the whole church in Mozambique. I think it's worth every penny of it. And the thing that amazes me is God keeps supplying the money for this to continue as much as it grows year after year. The money keeps coming. And I don't even understand how and where it all comes from. But the Lord has been gracious. But we want to know. What are the results of this? Well, I want to go back to that individual that did so well, the guy in the prosperity gospel Neo-Pentecostal movement who vowed he was going to change his church. He went home and tried, and he wasn't successful. They would not change. He got discouraged. And after a couple of years, because he was so geared up on knowing so many things about the Bible and all, his denomination, he didn't leave the Neo-Pentecostal denomination. They wanted to turn him into a prophet. And they've worked on him, and they've pulled on him, and they've drawn him right back down into the pit from which he came. And very discouraging. But we have seen that repeatedly because, 2 weeks out of the year, or 3 weeks, and then drop people right back into the morass of bad doctrine, bad influences all around, has often burned us. And in recent years, we've come to the realization that these people have got, we've got to follow up with them. We can't just work with them for 2 weeks and then drop them back into the ocean of error. And so that's when we started 5 years ago a concerted program to get these reading groups going. And these people who really do catch fire and lay hold of the truth, we offer to help them organize reading groups back in their local churches where they're from so that they can continue to read excellent literature and develop around them a nucleus of people who also are beginning to grasp these same important truths to establish this foundation under the church in Mozambique. And again, because we've got 405 people over the years scattered all throughout the entire length and breadth of Mozambique, in these 5 years we have now come up to where we have the 364 people participating in 26 different reading groups. And those reading groups are now all functioning. Not all of them are meeting every month. We're still trying to get that geared up, but they've all got their books, they're all meeting, they're all reading, and they're all debating. You have to read the book and you have to debate at the next meeting in order to get the next book in the series. Listen to the books that they're getting. The first book we start off with is Martin Luther's classic, The Bondage of the Will. Because everybody in Mozambique, this was his debate with Erasmus when he was showing that men do not have the capacity to choose for the Lord. The Lord has got to intervene because our will is broken. And we will never on our own choose to follow the Lord unless God begins to do a work of grace within us. Well, this is exactly what all the churches in Mozambique believe. They believe, like Erasmus, that everybody's good enough to get saved. You just have to convince them to make that decision for Jesus Christ. They don't realize their dependence upon the Lord to act. And so the first one that we need to deal with is their idea of man's ability. And Martin Luther, of course, develops in his book the inability of men to be saved apart from a gracious work of God in their lives. And then the next one we followed up with is a monograph by Charles Spurgeon on election, the necessity of God and how God elects and draws people to himself. And then we go, the third book is The Doctrine of Justification, written by James Buchanan. He's a 19th century Church of England pastor. This is considered to be the landmark definitive work on justification by grace through faith. And then after that, we follow up with a book on law, grace, and sanctification, which is by an American missionary named Russell Shedd. It's not a classic work. In fact, it's not even necessarily the work that I would 100% agree with, but he's got several chapters in there where he uses the scripture to show very effectively that sanctification does not come through rule-keeping, but it comes through the Holy Spirit, not through the law. And this is another eye-opener for these people whose churches are all oriented toward works sanctification through keeping the law, not necessarily the law of the Lord, not the royal law of Jesus Christ, but their church rules. And then we follow that up with David Martin Lloyd-Jones' work, Growing in the Spirit, The Assurance of Salvation. How do we know we're saved? It's not because of a pat prayer that we made and somebody assuring us that now don't ever doubt it, you're in like Flint with the Lord. No, the assurance of salvation comes through growing in the Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit transforming our lives. And so this is also a great revelation for people. And then we go on with books about God, The Attributes of God by A.W. Pink, The Sovereignty of God by A.W. Pink, The Old Gospel by J.I. Packer, contrasting the old God-focused gospel with the new man-centered gospel, The Gospel's Power and Message by Paul Washer, Gospel Assurance and Warnings by Paul Washer, The True Gospel by Paul Washer, Chosen by God, a classic work by R.C. Sproul, The Gospel According to Jesus by John MacArthur, Ashamed of the Gospel by John MacArthur, and then the classic by John Owen, Temptation and Mortification of Sin on Sanctification, Holiness by J.C. Ryle, The Seriousness of Sin by the Puritan Ralph Venning, 10 Indictments Against the Modern Church, Paul Washer, to try to help them see the errors that need to be corrected in the church today, 9 Marks of a Healthy Church by Mark Dever, and then in their preaching pulpit ministry, Preaching Pure and Simple by Stuart Olliott, Preaching and Preachers by David Martin Lloyd-Jones, The Decision for Christ by L.R. Shelton, men and women in the church by Kevin DeYoung, because that's a big problem in Mozambique too. And then we've got the classics, Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, Power Through Prayer by E.M. Bounds, The Saint's Eternal Rest by Richard Baxter, For Whom Did Christ Die by John Owen, The Religious Affections by Jonathan Edwards, The Puritans on Conversion by the Puritans Thomas Watson, Samuel Bolton, Nathaniel Benson. These are the books these guys are reading to get a foundation under the church in Mozambique that 25 years ago never heard of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is the opportunity God has given us. This ministry too costs money. Each book, $6.50 on average is what they cost. We're sending out 364 of those books every month to all of these readers. Cost $30,000 a year. An expensive ministry, but somehow or other to this point, God has been raising up the funds to provide for that. And we just hope we can continue to do that. So we're so thankful for all of these opportunities that God has granted to us. With regard to people in these reading groups, I just mentioned three testimonies that we have here. One from the very farthermost northernmost province of the country. For me, participating in the reading group has been very good. It's helped me to deepen my theological knowledge and to perceive that we're not the ones who do things ourselves, but it's God. And that the purpose of the literature is not just to fill our intellect with information, but to deepen our intimacy with God. The Bondage of the Will by Martin Luther was the book that impacted me the most so far, containing truths that changed my perspective of things. And I'm sure the perspective that changed was his idea, moving from an Arminian Pelagian perspective that thinks that man accomplishes his own salvation by his own choices, which characterizes nearly all the evangelical churches in Mozambique, to the perspective of salvation purely by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, which faith is itself a gift that comes from God. Now, that was from Pemba. And then in the middle of the country, the belt, we have the Bible Belt in the United States. This is the Neo-Pentecostal Prosperity, Health, and Wealth Belt in Mozambique, the midsection of the country. I thank God in the first place because the books have greatly blessed me, and I've learned much. And now understand that what I had imagined in my mind is very different from what the Bible actually says. The book, The Bondage of the Will by Martin Luther, showed me that I don't have free will and that I would never choose God. It crushed my mind. The book, The Puritans on Conversion by Watson, Bolton, and Vincent, showed how deep true conversion is and that all the suffering involved is transitory. I'm sure he's talking about the deep repentance that the Holy Spirit affects when a person truly comes to salvation through the work of God's Spirit. And then, of course, the desperate calling out to God to save us when we realize that I can't do it myself. I've got to wait for God to act. And there's an agony of soul while you're waiting for God to hear your prayer and to save you. But that's finally dissolved when God begins to work in your life and produce these changes and you realize that, He has heard my prayer. He's brought me to Himself. I'm saved. But that period of anguish and agony, it's transitory. It's 2 Corinthians 7:10. What does it say now? For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. There's a reality that when the Holy Spirit works on somebody and brings them to salvation, there is that agonizing period of time when you want to be saved, but you can't just do something automatically to make it happen yourself. You have to call upon the Lord to save you. And in due time, He'll answer that prayer. And He'll give you that assurance, and the agony passes. But the sorrow of the world just leads to death. But the sorrow that comes from God produces that repentance unto salvation, which afterwards no one repents of. We're so thankful for that. So this fellow is understanding these things. The Cross of Christ by John Stott is what I'm currently reading, and it's been very good and edifying. All the books, as all the books have been, they've taught me many things that I never even imagined before in all my years in the church. This is from Chamoy, from the central part of the country, the Health, Wealth, and Prosperity Gospel Belt. Here from the southernmost part of the country, the books have made a great impact. And they are edifying me and other people. I've read the books Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God by J.I. Packer, The Decision for Christ by L.R. Sheldon, The Doctrine of Justification by James Buchanan, and The Attributes of God by A.W. Peake. pink. The ones that impacted me the most were the attributes of God and the decision for Christ. The first helped me to know the God that I'm serving and His omniscience. God already knew that I'd sin against Him, but He still loved me. The decision for Christ made me understand that what it is to carry my cross, that is, to strip myself of myself and follow Christ. It's not about reading a lot of books, but stripping myself and myself completely, stripping myself of myself completely and following Christ. Evangelism and the sovereignty of God is very good. I learned how to evangelize correctly. This is from Aputi. So just the responses that we have received from different people who have been participating in the program. Well, I need to conclude, but I do hope that I have encouraged you to understand that even though it's frustrating for me not to be a surgeon and not to be involved in widespread medical evangelism, the opportunity is there, but God keeps postponing it. I don't think He's saying no. We've built the hospital. We've got it equipped. We've got these five Mozambicans who are all wanting to be surgeons. And we've got everything we need in our own church, our little congregation. We've got everything we need. The only thing we don't have to open a hospital is a lab tech, but I know an excellent reformed man who's a lab tech in another church. But God's provided all these things. But He's not letting us be encumbered right now with the medical evangelistic ministry. Why? Because God's got another program. And we're just struggling to keep up. But I'm so thankful that up until this point, He has provided financially for all of these expensive ministries that are going on. And so I do hope you're encouraged. I'm encouraged to reflect on these things that are taking place through your prayers, your contributions, and through the faithfulness of people in this very congregation who 37 years ago joined together to make it possible for me to be sent to Mozambique. And we didn't know for what. I've always taken the perspective that I'm not proactive, I'm reactive. I want to be led by the Lord. I want the Lord to show us. You open the doors and we'll try to go through it. And we didn't know when we went to Mozambique what form or shape the ministry was going to take. But God provided all these opportunities, provided the funding, provided the money, provided the resources that we've needed. And I do believe that we're going to finally be hitting on all eight cylinders. One day we're going to have a hospital that's going to be a great evangelistic meal. And we're going to have churches. We've already got five in Nampula. We're going to have churches all over where we can send these people to follow up on what they've learned through the medical evangelistic ministry about salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So I hope you're encouraged with me by this report. Let's end with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You are a great God. Father, we do thank You that You do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We thank You for what You're doing here. We also thank You, Father, for what You're doing through the prayers and the faithfulness of Your people here and helping us in Mozambique, standing by us through all these years. We pray, Father, that You would exalt Your Son, Jesus Christ, more and more in that land, and that people would come to understand how wonderful and how rich is Your grace toward sinful men as manifested in the gospel which You planned, which You effected, and which You are bringing not only to our lives but to the lives of many people in Mozambique. Father, we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.